You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining us today via Skype, ChicagoFootball.com writer and USA Today's NFC North correspondent, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well. And joining us in studio, ChicagoFootball.com fantasy football writer JC Talon. JC, how you doing today?
Good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it was a bizarre week too, gentlemen. A whole lot of names we wouldn't expect to see at the top of the scoring charts. How was your fantasy week too, JC?
I actually had a pretty good week. I put Larry Fitzgerald in there. I'm starting to get the idea that if they're playing the Bears, that's a good guy to start. So I played Fitzgerald, and he pulled me through.
Arthur, how about you?
Not too bad. Yeah, like JC, I kind of found a guy who's been turning back the clock, D'Angelo Williams, with three rushing touchdowns, number one running back score this week. And then I was a little apprehensive about playing the Jets defense last night, on Monday night, but that did pan out for me as well. Like, I don't know what's going on with this Colts offense, but I do know Todd Bowles has those Jets playing and taking the football away.
If you look at that Jets defense, they're just stacked with talent. I mean, 1 through 11, there's a bunch of first-rounders on there. That's just a really physical, good defense with a great coach.
And they're taking the ball away, too. So for us fantasy players, that's a lot of points out there that Jets defense can get you.
Yep.
All right, let's start with some injuries, some news and notes. We a lot of injuries this week to get through. We're going to start with the big one. That's Tony Romo with a broken clavicle. I believe week 11 is when he's going to be eligible to come back. If you've got Tony Romo on your team, Arthur, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said last week I was already off the Dallas passing game as soon as Dez Bryant went down. He means so much to that system, and obviously Romo, means even more. He's at the most important position on the field. So I just haven't seen enough from this run game yet, this Joseph Randall run DMC game that hasn't really gotten started. So, I'm just very, very cold or off the passing game at this point. You know, maybe Christian Michael can be the ace in the hole, but I think that's an awful lot to ask. So I think I'm going to steer clear even more than I was here a week ago.
JC, you're probably not racing out to pick up Brandon Whedon.
No, I don't. I think we've seen what Brandon Whedon has, and that's not much. I think I've been listening to a lot of talk shows that seem to suggest the Cowboys will be fine in the interim, and I don't know where they're coming up with that, because you've got Brandon Whedon handing off to Joseph Randall and throwing to Cole Beasley. I mean, I really think the Cowboys' offense is going to be challenged here for a while.
Yeah, there's not a lot of fantasy goodness to be had out there. If it's Brandon Whedon, you've got a timeshare at running back, and Lance Dunbar is also stealing carries and showing up on third down running passing routes. Arthur, I just don't see where we're going to get a lot of fantasy points from the Cowboys offense, not to mention they're still playing the same keep-away game that they did last year.
Yeah, and it's a shame because they're in what's really a pretty putrid division right now in the NFC East. It would seem that there's some opportunity. Eagles not stopping anyone, Giants having their issues. Frankly, it seems like Washington, it might be the best team in that division right now. But, you guys just said it on Whedon. I know that the Cowboys were kicking the tires this week looking around at guys like Christian Ponder and Matt Castle. So if you need to hear more than that, I don't have it for you. But I can't imagine, you could sell Brandon Whedon on really anyone at this point.
I think at this point, Tyrod Taylor's probably available in most of your leagues. Is that a guy you're looking at, JC?
Yeah, I think he'd be one. I think Derek Carr would be another. You'd also look at Andy Dalton from Cincinnati. He's put up a couple good weeks, and he's out there in a lot of leagues.
Ooh, Andy Dalton. I talked with Nicole Franz, who's the Northwest Herald web editor here in our newsroom, and she's just sort of like, shh, don't say anything. Andy Dalton's doing fine. Just don't say anything. It won't ruin it. Let's move on to Eddie Lacy, ankle injury. He may play Monday night. You know, it's tough with Monday night games and injuries. If you've got to set your lineup, Arthur, what are you doing with if you own Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, you said it. I think the Monday night conundrum is going to put a lot of people, you know, kind of in a hole here. I don't know if you can afford to wait on him. You may have to, you know, hopefully the owners with foresight, the Eddie Lacy guys, grab James Starks. I mean, that's the one thing on Lacy. The one knock is his style of play and his injury history. You had to realize that at some point you may have to turn to Starks, who's fully capable. We saw what he was able to do to that Seahawks defense, obviously. Looked really good. He's stylistically, I think he's, you know, really a great fit and kind of, you know, plug in seamlessly there. So, you know, hopefully the Lacy guys did go ahead and handcuff with Starks and drafts, but if not, I know we'll get to it in a little bit. He may be the number one waiver claim this week, so that's the obvious direction to turn. And as far as Lacy, you will remember in his rookie season, he dealt with a similar ankle injury, played through it, I think had 8 of his 11 touchdowns on his way to Offensive Rookie of the Year 2 seasons ago. So he's a guy who will play through some stuff, and he's a battler, but again, the Monday night situation is what really has to worry you at least week to week or for this week currently.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast right now and you own Eddie Lacy, pause it and go pick up James Starks. We'll still be here. Just go ahead and pause it, pick up James Starks. He's well worth it, isn't he, JC?
Yeah, ideally that's the best situation. Since it is a Monday night game, you're going to have to make a decision whether to replace Lacy with the guy on Sunday. So if you have Starks, that's the best way to go, and you can go right up to game time and make your decision between the two of them. I would disagree, though. I think number one pickup this week is going to be Matt Jones. Now, he may be gone in some leagues, but I looked at ESPN and I looked at CBS, and he's available in most leagues, and I think it's going to be a fight at the bat rack for Matt Jones.
And we will get to Matt Jones in a bit. If you're in DFS, James Starks is minimum price right now, so I think he's definitely worth rostering this week. We'll move on to another one, Jay Cutler with his hamstring injury. Arthur, you were there on Sunday. Jimmy Clausen, I'm definitely not playing him, but I don't know a lot of people that own Cutler either, but this Bears offense is, what do you do now?
Well, you're obviously not doing anything this week as they go into Seattle 0-2 in their home opener. So, you know, you're steering clear, much like with the Cowboys. You're not touching the Bears offense this week. At least I know I'm not, you know, and count me among the many in that press box who didn't really see a hamstring injury. We were all thinking shoulder, collarbone, something. He came down so hard on the right side of his body. So, you know, I guess maybe a strained hamstring would be considered good news in that respect. And, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world. But what's troubling is that one of the best parts about Jay Cutler in the first 2 weeks was the way Adam Gase was finally tapping into that athleticism. We saw some zone read with Cutler, which obviously we hadn't seen here in years. And you do have to wonder how the mobility is going to be affected if and when he gets back. But regardless of Cutler's health, there's, as you mentioned, as you alluded to, John, there's just not enough weapons in that offense right now. As long as Alshon's out, I can't imagine you're really going to be buying into that Bears passing offense.
Yeah, and we'll hold off on any sort of Matt Forte speculation. We've got a Twitter question coming up on that. But Eddie Royal, are you keeping him on your bench there, JC?
Well, yeah, I think Cutler will probably sit out this week. And like you, it didn't seem like a hamstring, but they seem to be sticking with that story. So now you get Jimmy Clausen coming in. Little fact for you, Jimmy Clausen has played in 18 NFL games, and his team has lost 17 of those contests.
Oh, so that's not good.
I would not be surprised, and maybe I'm overdoing it a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears got shut out this week. So I would do everything I could to avoid playing any Bears this week.
If you're playing DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, this is the easiest plug-and-play of the week. Seahawks defense, they're going to be the most expensive price. But, yeah, I agree with you. Chicago's offense is really, really going to struggle. I'll move on to the last injury we're going to talk about. Tevin Coleman looked awesome early on for Atlanta, ran for a touchdown, and now has a ribs injury. Arthur, why don't you fill us in a little bit on Tevin Coleman's status?
Yeah, the local kid, it's unfortunate. I agree fully with you. He looked so good in the opener, was running with the speed we know about, but also some power and some aggression. And unfortunately, he's dealing with a fractured rib. So, you know, the good news here is that Dan Quinn said it's going to be a pain management situation. They don't think that he's going to, you know, kind of compound his problems if he continues to play. And I kind of looked back and I remembered his last season at Indiana, and I remember talking to Tevin at the combine and him telling us about this really bad toe injury. I think it's called a sesamoid, sesamoid, something like that. But anyway, he suffered it in the fifth game and then went on to play through it, racked up 2,000 yards that year. So we know this is a guy who's got a pretty high pain threshold. I think that's encouraging, but it is hard to envision he's going to be out there, you know, 7 days after suffering the injury, which is a tough blow. There's no one else in that Atlanta running game that excites me, but that offense, obviously, it seems like the line's starting to do things, and Julio Jones is the most unstoppable player on the planet right now. So if and when Tevin Coleman does get back, obviously that's going to work greatly in his favor.
I like Devonta Freeman in daily this week. He's at 4,600, which is right about what Tevin Coleman's price was last week, and he's going up against Dallas. Dallas is still a good defense. It's a pace-down game, but I still kind of like him, again, because I don't think Dallas's offense is going to do much, and game script might be in his favor. Is Devonta Freeman worth a speculative ad there, JC?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with Arthur. I don't think Tevin Coleman will play this week. I just, you know, with a young player like that, you want to be a little smarter than that. I think he'll be fine long term. There's a lot of medical things they can do to make you forget about your ribs for a few hours. So, but I think this week he'll be out, and I think that will be a low scoring affair in Dallas if Dallas has anything to say about it. But I think he would be a good spec play, yes.
All right, with injuries out of the way, JC, I want to start with you on Jeremy Hill and his fumble problems. It appears he is now in a timeshare with Giovanni Bernard.
I don't think that will last. Gio did a great job with the opportunities he got. He flashed some of that rookie form after he got in. But I think Jeremy Hill is the better every down back. I think he'll serve his penance for those fumbles. Hopefully he won't fumble again, and over time he'll become the main back again. But going forward the next couple of weeks, yeah, it's kind of a wait and see. I probably would play Jeremy Hill. They're going up against the Ravens this week, and generally that would be bad, but Oakland just posted 37 on the Ravens, and they're missing their best defensive player. So I probably would play. I think they're both good plays this week.
Ooh, Arthur, what do you think about playing both?
I don't know if I want to, you know, not on the same roster, certainly. I guess Gio would be an okay play, if you're looking in that direction. But the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me, you know, what becomes of the situation moving forward, for me, and I'm already putting out the feelers, Jeremy Hill is a classic buy-low candidate right now. I fully agree with JC. He is the superior talent in that backfield. He is the option at the goal line. This is going to be one of the highest scoring offenses in football. And if you listen to the Bengals coaches talk about Hill, yes, he sat in the doghouse Sunday, but they're not really worried. He's had a bit of a fumbling issue, but they think he's strong mentally. They think he's going to be able to bounce back from this. And he's a guy I love, and a guy that I think you may be able to capitalize on. Some owners wondering, you know, how long something like this is going to persist.
DFS, I'm probably staying away from both of them just for this week, just for a wait and see, just to see what happens. Moving on to maybe the ultimate wait and see, DeMarco Murray, Sam Bradford, pretty much anyone on the Eagles. Guys, that was a pathetic game against the Cowboys on Sunday. If you're a DeMarco Murray owner, if you're a Sam Bradford owner, you're pretty much stuck right now, aren't you, JC?
Well, if you own DeMarco Murray, I think you have to look at it and say, which one of his 11 rushing yards is my favorite? that's a tough deal. I mean, it's weird, and I think people are going to overreact on the Eagles, and that might be right, but it was interesting that first half against Atlanta, they looked terrible. Then they come out in the second half, and they couldn't be stopped. They were stopped one time, and unfortunately for the Eagles, it was the last possession. Other than that, they scored three times in a row. They looked unstoppable. You think, okay, here we go. Then they come out against Dallas, and they look just like they looked in the first half. I think it's different issues. It seems Sam Bradford almost looked like he quit at the end of the last game. And DeMarco Murray, and now I've thought this from the offseason, square peg, round hole. That's a lose-lose situation. Perfect fit for Dallas. Dallas let him walk, didn't replace him with anybody competent. Now they don't have a running game. And Philadelphia picked up a runner that really didn't fit their scheme. I think DeMarco Murray, if you could unload him and get first-round value for him, I would do it. Sam Bradford, I don't know. I mean, if the Eagles rebound, he'll be fine. Right now, after seeing that game against the Cowboys, I just don't know.
Arthur, how do you feel about the situation in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, DeMarco was a guy, we've talked about this on this podcast, that he was a guy I was steering clear of, over 400 touches last year, and an imminent drop-off in the offensive line going from the best one in football to Chip Kelly's situation where he's learning the hard way that it's always going to be the Jimmys and Joes over the X's and O's. I could never figure out what was going on with letting Evan Mathis and Todd Harriman's go. The guard play has been atrocious, and I think that's a big part. You know, again, Murray's workload certainly concerned me, but he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage regularly. I don't think there's any back in football that's going to make much better of the situation than he's been able to right now. It's just it's been really pathetic, and I think these situations are obviously connected. As long as the O-line struggles, as long as the run game struggles, you better have a good option behind Sam Bradford. That's something else that, you know, I was pretty adamant about in the offseason. If you wanted to kind of take a flyer as a really high-end quarterback too with Bradford, I was all for it. I did it in one league, but I went ahead and I backed him up with Phillip Rivers. I'm feeling pretty good about that right now. So if you don't have that contingency plan, and Bradford's receivers aren't helping either. JC talked about the interception in the second half in Atlanta. That was on Jordan Matthews. I think he's got three or four drops already. He's kind of struggled easing into that number one role. So there's not a lot of good news in Philadelphia at the moment.
If you're playing daily, this is the ultimate contrarian stack selection this week. They are at the Jets. They're priced down. Nobody's going to be on them. I'm going to stay away, but if you really want to be out there, that's a daily play for you. All right, we asked you for your Twitter questions at Shy Football, and a couple of you responded, so thank you very much. And we'll get to those Twitter questions right now. All right, our first question comes from Andrew Holman at Hammy, A-H-O-L. Who is your number one waiver wire pickup? JC, you're all over Matt Jones this week, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess, spoiler alert, I guess. Yeah, absolutely. Now, with that said, we all overreact, right? We all reacted to the first week. Now we're all going to overreact to the second week, and everything we learned the first week doesn't mean anything. Truth of the matter is, the good teams are probably going to wind up being pretty good, and the bad teams are going to wind up being pretty bad, and there's going to be one or two exceptions. And I don't know that we can sit here and say, after two games, Washington's going to be this great running attack. And if they're not a great running attack and they're splitting the carries, Matt Jones, that may be the best game he plays all year. However, they split carries. He did much more with his carries than Alfred Morris did with his. I think that's one you got to pick up just in case it continues.
Arthur, who's your number one waiver wire pickup this week?
Yeah, I mean, I had mentioned for a rental, for a 1-2 week rental, maybe you look at James Starks, but I was, as you mentioned, in the Soldier Field press box Sunday, and I watched the David Johnson show, and I think it's real. I really liked him coming out of Northern Iowa. I love the speed that he brings to an already lightning fast offense, and the way he can help you potentially in the return game. You're not going to rely on that, obviously, but I think David Johnson's the most talented back in that backfield, and that includes an injured Andre Ellington, and I think Bruce Arians is not a guy who's going to shy away from leaning on his most talented guys. So I think David Johnson could be a pretty viable RB2 or certainly a flex play the rest of the way here, regardless of Ellington's health.
We're going to go 3-for-3 here on running backs. Matt Jones is my number one, I think. But if you can't get him, if JC beats you to it, Lorenzo Taliaferro from Baltimore. Baltimore does not look to be in love with Justin Forsett. I know some of us were on him earlier in the year. I liked him a lot. But Taliaferro is stealing goal line carries. He's going to vulture touchdowns. I kind of like him as a speculative ad, someone to keep on your bench, and maybe a stream kind of guy. I'll throw out one more name, too, Michael Crabtree. He actually looks okay. I know we kind of dogged him when we brought him up preseason. He looks all right with Derek Carr just going to sling it back there, and he can't throw all of them to Amari Cooper.
Well, and then you also have Travis Benjamin in Cleveland, and he'll probably be a popular pickup this week. I'd be a little concerned because I believe he has 6 catches total. And, we don't know if Manziel is going to stay as a quarterback there. But, if you've got roster room and he's available, I think he's worth a shot. He clearly has a lot of speed.
All right, our second Twitter question comes from Scott Izinski at S.I. Zinski. With the Jay Cutler injury, is it worth hanging on to Matt Forte, or are teams going to stuff the box and eliminate protection? I'll leave that to you, Arthur.
I don't think you really have much of a choice right now. I think kind of the whole deal with gauging fantasy trades. It's all about value, and I just think Forte's value is not what it needs to be right now to where you're going to get something, a worthy return on him. So I just said I'm not real excited about the Bears' offense at the moment, but we have seen some encouraging signs from the run game. You have to keep in mind, I mean, they haven't stretched the field yet through the air in 2 weeks, and the run game has still been fairly consistent. So I think you're kind of in between a rock and a hard place here, but yeah, I think you'd be outsmarting yourself if you try and deal Forte unless you're going to get some really, really nice value in return, which seems like a long shot.
JC, if you've got Forte, are you stuck?
Well, yeah, I agree with Arthur 100%. This would not be the time to trade him. And keep in mind, while Cutler was playing, the Bears' offense looked very good. And so hopefully it is a hamstring. like Arthur said, it sure didn't look like a hamstring. But if Cutler's out with a hamstring and it's only a couple weeks, he'll be back. Their schedule lightens up here. Hang on to Matt Forte.
All right, our last Twitter question from our own Nicole Franz. Is it time to bench Drew Brees? He's got a bruised rotator cuff. He did not look good in the loss to Tampa Bay. If you've got Brees, are you benching him, JC?
Boy, that's a tough one because there's conflicting reports out there right now. If he's playing this week, he's playing at Carolina. And if he couldn't handle Tampa's defense at home, he's really got a challenge in Carolina. The problem is if you pick Drew Brees and you're in any kind of league with any kind of size, your backup probably isn't very good. So, it just depends on the situation. I would certainly try, and maybe Dalton would be one of those guys that if you could get him off the waiver wire, put him in there, and, obviously hope for the best with Brees, but try to protect yourself.
Arthur, are you benching Drew Brees?
Oh, I never thought I'd be, asked this question and answering accordingly, but I think you have to right now. I mean, the real question here is whose demise is happening faster, Peyton Manning's or Drew Brees? I've been apprehensive to hop on the Manning is done bandwagon, and I'm glad I'm not on it yet, but I just don't see enough to be convinced. At least Manning's still got a bunch of weapons there. The Saints seem like they're lacking pop in the pass game. Offensive line, like with Manning, is an issue. And as JC said, that's a pretty darn good Carolina defense. So you may be able to find someone you can stream on the waiver wire, whether it is Andy Dalton would be a great pickup, or someone like a Derek Carr, maybe not Blake Bortles going against New England. But I think there's better options that are going to be a little bit safer until we have a little bit more clarity on what's going on with Breeze's shoulder.
This might sound crazy, but if you're really in a tight spot and you're looking for 1 week, think about Ryan Mallett. He's probably going to get the start in Houston, and they're playing Tampa, and Houston has faced two really good defenses to open the season, so they're going to get a bit of a break at home this week. I wouldn't get on Ryan Mallett bandwagon, but for 1 week, he might actually surprise and might be a good DFS play, too.
Mallett threw the ball 58 times last week. If you're going to get somebody with that sort of opportunity, and he gets, like you said, gets the Bucs at home, I like that call. I like that call, JC. All right, thank you very much for your Twitter questions. Again, you can always tweet us at ShotFootball or tweet at me at JSolly. Let's look ahead now to week three. We're going to identify some of our top plays at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end in season-long in DFS. JC, we'll start with you. Who are some of your top plays, 1 to 3 guys at quarterback?
Well, I'm going to take the obvious route here, but the Patriots have a dream matchup at home against the Jaguars, and Bill Belichick doesn't take his foot off the gas for anybody. I think this probably sound like a gimme a couple weeks ago, but now after watching the Colts last night, they did not look good. I think they've got a case there where the GM and the coach are not on the same page with huge needs on the offensive line and defensive backfield. That GM just stockpiled receivers. However, at the Titans this week, I think you'll see a bounce back from Luck. And then, obviously, I think Kansas City's defense is just good enough to keep things interesting, and Aaron Rodgers should have a huge day.
Arthur, who are you looking at quarterback this week?
Well, I'll throw in a fourth, because those are my top three in order, would be Brady, Rodgers, and the third one I have here is Wilson. Russell Wilson, that is, of course, in a desperately needed get-well game for the Seahawks against a Bears secondary that I'm not sure I couldn't go out and contribute to right now. So I think Russell Wilson is in line for a big day in just a desperate spot for the Seahawks. And I'll throw Cam Newton in there too, because I just, you see what's going on with the Saints right now. You saw Cam's Superman touchdown. I believe he had one through the air and one on the ground last week. And in the DFS realm, I think he's pretty reasonably priced at $7,900.
Always nice to see Cam running. That definitely increases his fantasy value. I'm with you guys on Luck. I think against that Tennessee Titans secondary with Bleedy Ray Wilson, it's a really easy bounce back for him. DFS-wise, one more for you. Ryan Fitzpatrick is almost stone minimum on DraftKings at 5,100 going up against the Eagles, and the Eagles secondary has not looked good. Move on to running back. JC, who are you looking at?
Well, running back, I mean, I hate to jump on the, just keep beating on the Bears, but Marshawn Lynch ought to come out of has kind of a slow start. He ought to be good. I also like LeSean McCoy at Miami. That Dolphin defense, there's some reports about Sue doing a little freelancing down there. That coach is not a guy who's going to manage a crisis situation well. And so it's quite possibly the Bills, you know, add to some of Miami's pain this week.
Arthur?
Yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's back. I think the bell is going to be tolling. We saw what the Rams let up in Washington last week, and he's an obvious play. You've waited 2 weeks. I'm sure people are going to rush him into the lineup. Someone a little bit further down the line. Frank Gore looks so good Monday night, with the exception of that just mind-boggling fumble at the goal line. It was a backbreaker for the Colts, but he's going up against Tennessee, only $7,000 in daily, and Frank Gore, the consummate pro, one of the more reliable guys over the past decade. You have to think he is going to be anxious to quickly turn the page on just an absolutely killer fumble for the Colts last night.
Yeah, fire up Marshawn Lynch in every one of your lineups. If you have him, you're playing him. If you're in daily, just stick him in there. Arthur, I'm asking for a little bit of help on this from you, and I don't know if there's an answer here. The New England running backs in daily, Deion Lewis is 4,200 and LeGarrette Blount is 4,000. Are either one of them worth playing? I feel like this is a Blount game. Like, this is just classic Belichick. He's just going to run out Blount. But Deion Lewis has looked really good.
Yeah, he has, and obviously Blount was back last week, and he was the second fiddle in a big time way to Deion Lewis, who got a touchdown and I think over 100 total yards. So I getting inside Bill Belichick's head, particularly when it comes to his backfield pecking order, is a pretty scary proposition. But I think you kind of have to ride the hot hand here, in my opinion, even though he has been known to, you know, obviously change things up at the, you know, drop of a dime. So for now, I'm sticking with Deion Lewis. The Jaguars defense, pretty suspect. So both of those guys will have an opportunity to go off one, you'd have to think.
All right, I'm holding you to that then. Deion Lewis, lock it in. Wide receiver, JC, who are your top guys?
Okay, let me just give you a couple names of guys who might flash this week. I like DeAndre Hopkins getting the Buccaneers at home. I think they're going to roll. And then I'd also would look at if T.Y. Hilton is still dinged up, think about Moncrief. He's a really solid player, had a great play last night. If T.Y. Hilton's in the lineup, he's playing, then they kind of negate each other a little bit, assuming T.Y. Hilton's not at full speed. And then Sammy Watkins for Buffalo had a nice week last week. I think they're getting a nice little chemistry going out there, and so look for good things from him too.
Arthur, who are you looking at wide receiver?
Well, it's rather obvious, but I think Emmanuel Sanders, watching what he did in primetime, especially on third down with Manning, he was the go-to guy, and they head into Detroit for another primetime affair. The Lions haven't really stopped anyone, particularly on third down, so Emmanuel Sanders, a real strong play, has a chance to, I think, return, you know, wide receiver one numbers, and then, again, someone a little bit down the line. I've been very, very impressed with Brandon Marshall. He seems to have he's just looking like he's moving really, really well, which obviously we haven't seen, didn't see at all last year with the injuries. And he's got that Eagle secondary, which has just been repeatedly torched and seems to have a little bit of a good thing going with Fitzpatrick. It was like Fitz was just throwing it up for Marshall even when he was in double coverage the other night. So I think he's a pretty solid play this week as well.
I'm with you on the Marshall thing. Are Bears fans wishing Brandon Marshall maybe stuck around another year?
Well, you know, I thought
they had to turn the page, and it wasn't going to happen keeping him in the locker room. So you you kind of have to you know, swallow hard and realize that it is a less toxic place, a more working environment, and just wait. It'll happen in New York. It does everywhere he goes. So it's only a matter of time before he destroys that locker room culture as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you look last night, what happened was the Colts were really looking out for Marshall. So they doubled up on Marshall, and Fitzpatrick was just going to Decker, which is a great option they have there. But then when they lost another cornerback, then it was just, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like a NCAA program playing your local high school. They just torched those corners.
I'll throw out one more wide receiver name for you in DFS. Davante Adams at 5,000 on DraftKings against Kansas City. He had 5 targets and caught all 5 balls. He hasn't gotten a touchdown yet. I got to think Aaron Rodgers is going to make that right. Tight end, JC.
I'm glad I get to go first on this one. Jimmy Graham, he busts out against the Bears. I guess everybody on Seattle can't score, but
all the Seahawks.
I think some of the fans are going to score in this game. Jimmy Graham, I think he will. I think Seahawks are going to start realizing they got to take more advantage of having him in that lineup, and the Bears are just the team to do it against.
Arthur, tight end.
Yeah, JC's picking on the Bears defense. I'm picking on the Saints defense. You'd have to think Greg Olsen is going to get it going at some point. I know owners may be starting to lose patience with his slow start, but I have to anticipate this would be an opportunity for him to get going. And a little bit down the line, you may not have heard of Crockett Gilmore before, but the Ravens tight end has become a big-time target in that offense. There's not a lot of other things going right for them. So I think Crockett Gilmore is at home against the Bengals, and I think could be a pretty interesting play, someone that's kind of flying under the radar right now.
Well, Dwayne Allen went out last night, so keep an eye on Kobe Fleener. If Allen's not playing, then I think Fleener's a good play.
And Fleener and Crockett Gilmore are both good pickups if you've rostered Austin Seferian Jenkins. The news came just before we came in to tape this is that Seferian Jenkins is out for at least a couple of weeks. So Crockett Gilmore is a great pickup. I'll throw out one more DFS name, Travis Kelce, baby Gronk against the Packers. I like him a lot in that matchup. All right, that'll do it for today's podcast. Don't forget to get all the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts, and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared for the rest of the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy Truck Month is back. Is this the month you get a dream Silverado? Check out all of the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com. today, and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to Arthur Arkish and JC Talon for being guests on today's show. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Sally. For all of us at Chicago Football, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football, and we will catch you this time next week.